Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, Chaitanya Upanayanam, Mati Shastra, chapter 23, Costumes and Makeup, page 40. Colors for the gods, right? So on makeup, then what color everybody is? Gods as well as the yakshas and the apsaras should be painted reddish yellow. Right, because so it's that yellow color, that golden color, but it's got that touch of red in it. You know, like that. And Rudra, Arka, the sun, Druhina, Brahma, and Skanda are to have the color of gold. Yeah, so that'll just be the straight gold. So they'll have that little bit of reddish in it. Right? Soma, the moon, Brihaspati. I guess that's supposed to be a comma? No? Because otherwise it says Soma.
Yes, Soma,
Brihaspati, Chakra, Indra, Varuna, and the stars, or the nakshatras, 27. The ocean, that would be Varuna. The Himalayas and Ganga, the Ganges, are made white in color. Mm-hmm. Okay. Angaraka, Mangala, is Mars, should be painted red, and Buddha and Hutasana, Agni, yellow. And Narayana and Nara, as well as Vasuki, should be dark blue, Shyama.
So, Maharaj, this is the original color of the demigod?
Yeah, this is our natural colors. You know, it means it'll be, it may not be as extreme as the grease paint that we have, but it'll have that, you know, like we're reddish.
Yes.
Look at us, we're red.
Yes.
We say white, but technically we're red.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. White's something else.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. If you've ever seen these, like Gaur Saraswat Brahmins, they're white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes.
And then they call some other, like total, very white in color, some Westerners, they call them pale.
They don't call white.
Right?
Yeah, they're pale because there's no color.
Yes.
You know. Pandu, it would be Pandu. Yeah, so this really white, then you see here, Soma, Brihaspati, Chakra, Indra, Varuna, the stars and the ocean, the Himalayas, Ganga, are to be white in color. They're very white, that very, very white. It'd be like our skin color, you take out the red.
Yes.
It still has a little bit of, you know, color in it. It's not. So that's why we try to get a little tan. Because it adds in that little bit of the yellow, you know, like that. Because red's already there, you know. But if you're red and yellow, you get, you know, mix them in that little darker, you get the brown. Like that, you know, so, like that. The Daityas, the Danavas, the Rakshasas, the Guhyakas, mountains, the Paisachas, Yama, and the sky are dark blue in color. The Yakshas, the Gandharvas, the Bhutas, the Punagas, Nagas, the Vidyadharas, the Pitris, and the monkeys are of various colors. Human beings who dwell on the six continents, Sadvipa, are to be painted in the color of burnished gold. But among the inhabitants of Jambudvipa, where men of various colors live, everyone except those who dwell in the north Kuru region should be given the color of gold. In Bhadrashva, people should have the white color, and in Ketumala, they are blue. But in the rest of the subcontinents, people should be made reddish-yellow, Gaura. Yeah. So we're reddish-white, the red is yellow. That's the really attractive color. Bhutas are known to be of various colors. They are dwarfs with odd faces and may have faces of boars, rams, buffaloes, and deers as well. So that's how you know Lord Shiva is coming with his gunas. Because they're a little short, and they have very unique faces. You know, boars, rams, buffaloes, deers, you know, complete with all the antlers and everything else. You know, like that.
Indian cinema always puts, in Indian movies, it's always like that, the gunas of Shiva.
Yeah.
Short height. And
short, so far out, they look far out. You know. So when they come along, means, and they like to take this because it gives an effect.
Yes.
Lord Shiva's walking with all his gunas. You don't mess with these guys. But you see, if they want, they can take very, very attractive forms. Like when Arjuna was there, then he came and all these beautiful girls and everything like that. But otherwise, they could come in other forms that are, you know, more scary. But he wasn't trying to scare Arjuna. You know, he was trying to see his prowess. You know, so if you come along with, you know, 10,000 girls, then you know this guy's got some potency. You know, so then, and what's yours, you know? Well, if they're trying to scare him off and establish, okay, don't mess with this guy, then you come with the gunas as they are. You know, like if you go to Daksha's Yajna, you come with them as they are.
And a special one. Virabhadra.
Yeah, Virabhadra, yeah. Because otherwise, you know, if the beautiful girl goes over and rips somebody's head off, it kind of like, what? But if this little short guy with a, you know, a buffalo head goes over and rips somebody's head off, you go, okay, yeah, okay, I get it. We don't mess with this guy. Colors of people at Bharat Varsha. Like that. Yeah, so that was... Yeah, who dwell in the six continents, Satdvipa. Yeah, so that means that the seven islands,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So they're all going to be the burnished gold because they're of, you know, high class like that. That's the what do you call it? Bhuswarga. Right. Mm-hmm. Then in the middle you have Bharat Varsha, and then he says, you know, Jambudvip, and then of Jambudvip they're of different colors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So Jambudvip, there are different colors, but outside Jambudvip, they're all golden color.
Yes.
Like that. Yes. And then within, it mentions, you know, up north, they're this color and this. You know, so northern Kuru should be given the color of gold, like that, because they're also, I think that's the highest grade of those on Bhumandala. I mean, on Jambudvip.
Yes.
Because that no one can go to. So that was why Duryodhana was so envious that Arjuna had gone up to the northern Kurus, because no one can go there. So not only that, but they gave tribute. You know, it's like, yeah. He's happy if the local kings give tribute, but, you know, there it's like the northern Kurus gave tribute. Because they could have just kicked him out, but they respected Yudhishthir. They think, you know, because how well things go on the Bharat Varsha Bharata Khanda here, that's then how well things go nicely in the universe. Because here, if everyone's performing sacrifice and that, it nourishes the whole universe. And if they give up that, the whole universe suffers. So in Kali Yuga, the whole universe gets the effect of Kali Yuga. Here it's where it's nicely centered, but everybody gets the effect. Because the demigods, who's doing sacrifices? So where's all the soma ras? You know, where's all the stuff? Where's it all happening? You know, the Petris also. You know, they're sitting around, not much to eat. You know, like that. So that's the position.
It's only in Bharat Varsha that people do sacrifice for the demigods.
Yes.
Only.
This is the place of Yajna. That's why it's so special. It's the central point. It's like you must have. You have you know, some terminal that's famous, you know, in France where all the lines come to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's this place. From here, you can go everywhere in the universe. And from wherever it is, you come back here. If you've gone to the heavenly planets, you'll come back here. You've gone to the lower planets, you'll come back here. You've gone into the animal species, you'll come back here.
Okay.
So this is Karmasthan. The other places are just the results, yes.
The other places, they may perform rituals, but it's not for, like, not getting piety, because they're enjoying piety.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's just like you're on vacation. You can enjoy yourself and do different things, you know, go to the spa, go to the beach, but the money you have, wasn't you're not making money there. You're only spending money. You have to go back to your place, and then there you work, you get the money, then you go and enjoy it again.
Because we may hear many places they're performing this yagya, that yagya. That's just a ritual. It's not exactly.
It's because it's just proper. It keeps them in the. It maintains piety because it's their duty, and they do it. Then they'll maintain. They don't do it, then they can fall.
Yes.
But here it's that they're nourished. So that's why it says that the demigods and the humans, then they help each other. The humans do the sacrifice, and the demigods provide all facilities.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean, okay, you know, we're the ones in control here. No, because the point is everybody does what they're supposed to do. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you can say, well, I don't do the sacrifice, and then they don't give you the rain, and now what? You know? You never see Mad Max growing any, you know, lettuce or anything. You know, he doesn't have this nice organic garden and like that. You know, seems what do you call it? Lizards seem to be more on the menu, right? You know, yeah. So, does that make sense? So therefore, then it comes, and then when you come down here, then you'll also get the different colors, the colors of people of Bharat Varsha, right? Besides, listen now about the different colors of the people of Bharat Varsha. Kings there should be of lotus color, or dark blue or reddish yellow. And the happy mortals there are to be made of the reddish yellow, gora color. Those who practice vile acts are possessed of evil spirits, diseased or engaged in penance and in laborious work, and are of inferior birth, should be made a brown, asita, literally not fair.
Mm-hmm.
And the sages should always be given the color of plum, varala. But brown should be the color of sages observing penance, tapas, right? Because they become kind of like dried up and everything like that, so then they'll go darker in color. Like Vyasadeva, I think, is like a steel gray.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's why you know, Amba Ambalika, then they freaked out.
Yes.
You know? It's because he comes in with this, you know, steel gray. He just does austerity. So you know, you come to the point where you're just meditating. You're not taking a bath and all that. So if you've been meditating now for 10,000 years, you haven't taken a bath in 10,000 years.
Yeah.
So steel gray, this matted locks, you know, the very piercing eyes from, you know, always doing the meditation like that. You know, it's not because that's what you're doing. And that, and probably just a loincloth, you know, that's it. And so walks, and the body's like dirty from just, you know, whatever comes around. That walks in the door. Then, you know, one closes their eyes, one goes pale.
Yes.
You know, because they're queens, they're used to like that. But Vidura, then the maid servant, because then she's respectful, because she's always in that mood of service. So here's the sages. So she's seen sages before, and so she's respectful. So then you get Vidura. Like that. Yeah, so like that. And out of necessity, and also according to one's author's pleasure, colored persons may be varied according to their habitation, birth, and age. An expert in dramatic production should paint persons after knowing their place of action and time of action, birth, and the region of the earth they dwell in. Right? So that means the director would know, your those artists who are doing the makeup should know, or if they're doing their own. So they should know all that, then they should go with the particular color.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just they, you know, what they feel like.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now the place of action, or the place of birth of the actor, it's not the prominent thing. It
no.
Means they are. Everybody has his color according to his position in the cosmos, I can say.
Yes. Birth can also be there, because you might have that, you know, like we said, you might have Brahmins in one region, they'll have one color, but Brahmins in another might be slightly different color. Like I said, the Gaur Saraswat, remember, in 1980, there was I'm not sure if he was a devotee or if he was kind of like a friend of Krishna or something. He was in the school and I was looking at him. You know, it's just, at first, if I didn't know who he was, I would have taken him 100% to be a Westerner, but he didn't have the reddishness in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. You know, he also, it's like looking at a Westerner has that kind of auspicious Indian nose, you know, the big ears and, you know, the nice features, the eyes and all that. And that whitish kind of, I say whitish yellow, you know, that touch of red, like that, whitish yellow, no red.
Mm-hmm.
And like that, and I was just saying, the color would be like, you know, really, you know, that you rarely see in the Western, you know, that kind of color, like that. But then he had all the Indian features.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you know, so... these colors are there. So that's what he's saying. You know, it's depending on the background and this and that. So the reddish, this the, our color is actually the Kshatriya color, not the Brahmin color.
Yes.
The Europeans.
Yes.
You know, like that. I think they did, somebody came and did a DNA, you know, when DNA first came out that they figured it out, and so then it was the big thing. So someone came and did research, I think it was in Andhra, with Europeans and the Andhran Brahmins. And said that, you know, it's very, very similar. You know, the closest of anybody in Andhra. And that. But they never checked the Kshatriyas. They checked that, then they probably see that that's where they're going to get the very... They just checked the Brahmins. You know, because the Europeans, they consider them top, and okay, the Brahmins are the top, so hey, you know. Like that. So... Kiratas, Barbaras, Andras, Dramilas, Kashis, Kosalas, Pulindas, and the inhabitants of the south are mostly to be brown. Okay. Yeah. Pulindas, yeah, you do see that. Pulindas are like the Greeks, especially Turks. They have that kind of like brown color. The Barbaras, you know, because they're a group of the... I guess maybe before that, the Arabs, they were all Barbaras, right? Because they all moved, they were all nomadic, no?
Yeah, Berberis. That's
yes.
That's what their original.
Yeah, Berberis. Yes, yes. So it's mentioned here. Just like that. They're also of that kind of light, how you say, there's a, you know, brown. But depending upon it was, they'll be more or less brown. They're kind of a...
Ethiopians. Like
yeah, they're all like... Ethiopians are a little darker. They say, I mean, some say that they came from India. So maybe when the Kshatriyas, I mean, the Shudrawalas went over there, escaped to there, they went there, and then from there it went out, you know, with the locals and stuff.
Ethiopians, they have fine features,
yes.
Not like black features.
Yeah, yeah. No,
but they're still dark, like dark chocolate, like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think also, is what wasn't it, what was her name? Big Queen.
Cleopatra?
Huh? No, no, not Cleopatra. With David, I think. There was somebody, queen of
she
Ethiopia.
Was black.
Yeah.
Yeah. From
but very fine color.
Yeah.
Very fine features.
Yeah.
Like
curly
that.
Hair. And
yeah.
But very fine features.
Yeah.
Like Africans.
Yeah, I think that it's that it's yeah yes fine. So you're going to get a variety, but it's all these guys are within brown, but it'll just maybe more or less depending upon the you know how you want or like that. Okay, kiratas are, you mentioned something about kiratas?
Not kiratas. I think that in the north, those are the kiratas which I mentioned? Not Bihar. Or
I can't remember kiratas. Kashas I know, but kiratas I don't remember. Someone mentioned what kiratas were. I thought it was far out. Okay. Shakas, Yavanas, Pula... Kali call it? Pallavas, Pahravas, and Vahalikas, who dwell in the north, should be made almost reddish yellow. Yeah, so the reddish comes out more, like that.
Yeah.
Panchalas, Surasena, Odras, Magadas, Angas, Vangas, Kalingas should be made dark or deep blue, shaman complexion. So that's Orissa, Bengal. I'm not sure. That's Anga. Where's Vanga? It's also this side,
yes,
no? It's farther this
side. Vanga, Kalinga.
Yeah. Brahmins and Kshatriyas should always be made reddish yellow, and Vaishyas and Shudras dark or deep blue, shaman complexion.
Maharaj, Kiratas are North Bihar and Nepal.
North Bihar and... Okay.
Nepal.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're always kind of a brown... Like there, they look a... Yeah, they're kind of... verses 1 to 15. Like that. Does that make sense? So because here is where, you know, as we said, the station, so you have the maximum amount of people.
Yes.
You know? Like that. And so that you're going to have, in one area, you're going to have specific people. But in this, in that station, you're going to have all. So we see as we go out, different, you know, groups, that area, the whole thing's like that. But then when you get down to here, Varsha, then they have the multiple colors.
Yes.
Like that. Okay, verses 1 to 15 to 158, rules for different costumes. So the basic point is you try to, you know, emulate what, you know, someone from that area or that mentality or that demigod would look like, that it adds to the flavor.
Yes.
Like that. And you do according to the situation, because it meds the playwright according to their, what they want to accomplish, then, you know, they consider these things. I shall now speak of costumes suited to different occasions. You know, you also consider your audience, you know, like that. Clothes coming from many marts are of various kinds. Marts. Supposed to be many marts. So like Kmart and the different marts. What are the other marts? Yeah, okay. They are chiefly of three kinds, white, red, and variegated. Costumes are of three kinds, white, variegated, and soiled. Malina. I shall now explain their difference according to use made by producers. Right, producer means who's going to put on the play and see that everything is going on and making all the arrangements, managing it. Like that. Because, you know, the director may be the one producing it. You may be, you know, one of the lead actors may be producing. You may have someone else is producing. Point is someone's producing. That's the main point. In going to the temple of gods, observing some auspicious rite or a vow, or at the conjunction of some titis and stars, or at the time of marriage or any other sacramental rites, men and women should have white costumes, and the same is the rule for disciplined men in general. Because right? Generally, you know, the men in general, they'll wear white. That's just the color, because it's considered pure.
Yes.
So that's the whole point. He's trained his culture. That's why he wears white. It's culture.
Yes.
Like that. Costumes of gods, the Danavas, the Yakshas, the Gandharvas, the Uragas, Nagas, the Rakshasas, kings, and the people of foppish nature should be variegated. That's far out, foppish nature. Costumes of old Brahmins, leaders of bank guilds, ministers, chaplains, merchants, ascetics, those who occupy the same position as the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas should be white. Mm-hmm. Right, because when they get older, they don't care for all that. They you know, sit back. But the Brahmins, you know, it's not worried. But you see, even the leaders of the bank guild and all that, as they get that, they kind of pull back, and you don't notice them. They blend in. They don't like to stand out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like the guys that run the bank or own the bank. They'll be very, you know, nicely dressed, but very simple. Nothing standing out. But let's say, you know, one of the main bank guys that, you know, makes all the accounts and brings in all the big time. He likes to be flashy. But as they get older and move out, then they go. Ministers, chaplains, merchants, like that, they tend to wear white. They don't want to, because things, if you come in looking fancy, then you think, oh, I can get, if I'm going to go make a contract with you, I walk in looking gentlemanly, but nothing fancy, then the tendency will be, if I say I need to, it has to be less money, you're going to be more going along with it. But if I walk in just like dressed to the hilt, you know, then you're going to say, no, you should pay more. So by nature, merchants, unless it's something, you know, that they want to show off, then they tend to cut a low profile. You know, because if you're just wearing a simple white dhoti and a simple white kurta, you know, and walking through the regular market like everybody, and you got your bag, you know, that funky, you know, that kind of, you know, funky bag that people put all their vegetables in, you know, with the little handles on, and you're walking with it, and there's some cauliflower and potatoes on the top, and that, what are people going to think you're doing?
Shopping.
You're going home with your vegetables. They don't know that you have, you know, 20 lakhs in that bag. You know? I mean, while you're at it, you have a few vegetables on top. I mean, point is that no one's going to notice. No one's going to bother you. You know? But if you come out, you're dressed fancy, and you've got all that, and you got some special wall, and then you know, people are going to think, okay. So, yeah. Those who occupy the same positions as Brahmacharyas and Vaishyas should be white. You know, in other words, the bureaucrats that do all those different works for them. Costumes of lunatics, intoxicated persons, wayfarers, and persons struck with calamity should be made soiled. In case of costumes of white and variegated class, the experts in dramatic theory should provide upper garments of white, red, and variegated colors. And in case of a dirty man, he should be given a soiled cloth. Yeah, so it's, it may be also that the lower is of white, and then the upper may have the different colors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, there is an extra garment you wear, like the chadars and all.
Yeah, chadars and all that. You know, that'll be nice. And costumes of the sages, the Jain, Nirgranta, and the Buddhist Shakya monks, the Yatis and the Pashupatas should be made according to their respective sectarian rules and with an eye to what may have influence on the people. Right, so you're going to put it according to what they generally do, and then you're going to pick the aspects which will match the production and have the effect on the people. Ascetics in general should be made to wear a tattered cloth, barks, and skin. And in the costumes of wandering ascetics, sages and Buddhist monks should be made of dark red, kashya color. To the Pashupatas should be given a variegated dress. Because the red also can mean, you know, like what we wear, the gerua, dark, like you say. But it'll be full dark. But depending on what they are, then it may also go towards a reddish. But, you know. To the Pashupatas should be given a variegated dress, and costumes of persons of low birth should be made as befits their profession. Like, you know, how they would dress in their profession. To persons engaged in guarding the harem should be given armor and clothes of dark red, kashya color. The same should be the dresses of females when they are in special conditions. Costumes of the warriors should be suitable for fighting a battle, and they are to be provided with varied weapons, armors, and quivers attached, and with bows. Right, so they shouldn't come out with... If he's a warrior, he shouldn't come out looking too foppish. You know, things hanging all over the place and things like that. No. Kings should always be made to have a many-colored dress. But when, due to affliction under any evil star, they are engaged in any propitiatory rite, their costume should be exclusively white. Like, so if they're doing any puja or this, they'll just wear white. You know, and they'll have the chadar. You see them a lot of times also in the palaces, you know, because it's a big place, they wear the peg shoes around. They go to the sacrifice and those. They don't wear their other stuff. So they always wear white. Thus should be made the clothes of persons of the superior, the middling, and the inferior classes, according to their age, birth, and qualities. These are the rules of costumes in a dramatic production, according as persons attain different conditions and practice good or bad deeds. Right? So we have, what is their going to be practice position in society? What is going to be their position in prominence in the play? More prominent, supporting, or, you know, just extras, kind of like that. Then you're going to have whether they're good or bad. They practice good things or bad things. Yes. Accordingly, you want to dress them. Because you want to bring that out. Yes. You know, so let's say the demigod, he's playing a minor role in the part, then he'll be dressed only as much as needs be according to that position. Now, if he's a prominent role, then you'll see he'll be much more elaborate. So like that, you have to consider like this. So when it says inferior, this, that, that it may be the social position, or it may be their position in the play, whether they're the main actors, supporting actors, or you just, how you call them? What do they call those? Supporting actors. There's a name for it, that they come in, go. They're occasional like that. They're not a main role. Yeah. It's like the temporary or stuff like that.
Maharaja, is that the audience can recognize easily?
Yes.
Which one is
The idea is the audience should be able to figure out what's going on. So when you have something that is running for a while and people don't know what's going on, that's not a glory. It's not that, oh, we did something so far out, no one knows what's going on. That means, no, you failed. Like that, they should know immediately. When the person walks on, you should know. That's why it says the costumes are very important, because even before speaking, even though we'll say the speaking will be the prominent thing, and that, you know, actually the prominent thing will be the emotions, the moves like that, speaking will be a main, then all the gestures, then the costumes, that when they first walk on, by the costume, you can already tell who they are, what's their position. Then, when they start speaking, it continues that. So it's a very important thing. So unless it's some kind of, you know, one-act thing where you're doing something very simple, then, you know, you may have to go more by how they hold themselves and then how they speak. Then you'll catch it. Yes. You know, when they walk on, you're not sure, but as soon as they speak, then you know. But it'll be a very simple production. Yes. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know. Or you know it's that kind of drama. Yes. You know. Then you know, oh, it's going to be one of these. You know, a bit more, how you say, esoteric or avant-garde or something, you know, like that. Rules of different hair. The head of the Buddhist Shakya monks expert in Vedic studies, Kshotriya, the Jain Nirgrantha monks, wandering ascetics, and those who have consecrated themselves for some rites or for a Vedic sacrifice, should have their heads shaven clean. Okay. And according to the respective sectarian doctrine, the remaining ascetics should have their heads shaven or should have curling hairs or hairs loosely hanging down. Right? So unless it's in their line, they don't shave or something like that, then you know it's like that. And then it would also be accordingly. They'd have their sikha or this, or where their sikha is, you know, like that. You know, most have it all in the back, but somehow or another in Kerala they have it in the front. You know, and then their sikha hangs down over here. Right? Yeah, otherwise they have it here and they're always getting in their way. You know, like that. Durtas, crooks, and those who carry on their professions at nights, i.e. thieves, robbers, etc., and men of gallant nature should have curling hairs. Heads of boys should be adorned with sikas, and that of the Muni should have a crown of matted hair. Jata mukuta. Menials should have sikas on their heads, or will have the head shaven clean. Right? It's also the assistants would be all like that. And the jester should have a bald head, or a head with a kakapada, crow's feet. Hmm? You know what that means? Crow's feet means? So it must be as some far-out hairdo.
Or it's like some hair coming out here.
Oh, I see. It just means it just sticks out. Oh, okay. In other words, what they do now, you put a little bit of gel and then they go like this and then it's sticking. So they're a jester. And then the guys think that, no, he's the hero. He's the cool dude, right? But he's actually the jester. Okay. Get it. Yeah, because you see, even though guys are that, they may be the leading role, the hero, but you see they joke a lot.
Yes.
When they have that hairstyle. Because if they have that slick back hair, they don't joke.
Yes.
They don't even talk.
Yeah, they don't even talk. They just look, and then the guy shoots him. Right? Yeah. Okay.
I thought it's bald here, and then some hair sticks out.
That could be also, but it just means it's not well kept. So it's either bald, or it's unkept. Okay, because crow. Yeah, okay. Thus, after intelligently distinguishing different modes of existence by means of ornaments, various costumes, and garlands, one should build up imitation of special conditions from which proceeds sentiments in the production of the play. So the whole idea is that since you're going to remember the Lord, that means you're going to change the heart of the consciousness of the audience. That means you're going to set certain sentiments. That means that all these things should support that.
Yes, yes.
Like that. So the dress, the ornaments, the makeup, the hair, all that should then match, that it perfectly is going to assist in producing the proper rasa. That's going to then, you know, change the uplift the consciousness of the audience. That's going to make them more God conscious.
It's a big organization.
Yeah, no, it's a very serious thing. That's why it's considered so important. Because it then establishes how people can be, just how to assist in Krishna consciousness. Yes. That's the whole point.
Like that, the audience can use all the senses in order to
Yes. increase consciousness. Yes, yes. Yes. Verses 159 to 223, use of weapons and other accessories.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't? Oh. Producers should not prescribe want of twinkling eyes in case of gods. For all emotional states and sentiments in this world are based on books, and the meaning of words resting in looks are represented afterwards by gestures. Right? So you have the how they look, then the gestures. One should thus know makeup of limbs which relate to different characters.
Just have knowledge. One should thus have knowledge of.
Yes, you should know how they all go together. So they're all explained before. Remember the rasas and all that. Everything's explained. So now, that's why you say you have to be such a master, because you have to be able to put all this together. I was just discussing with one devotee on dance, because I asked him, remember there was those stances, and I was saying, but I didn't know the name, so the translation doesn't necessarily represent what they're doing, because they said there's four main stances that they do, and then this and that. So what we're talking about might be something else, and that. And so then, but they says, just to get to know that you know everything, all the points, all the hand movements, all the this, all the feet, all the stances, all the head movement, everything, that you can now do it, takes 6 years. And that's, I think that's 2 hours a day for 6 years. Then, with a teacher. Then you can, like that, you'll spend the rest of your life developing it, but it takes 6 years just for that part. And I'm sure if you check in the music, they're also going to say the same thing. And then if you get to know all the rasa, this and that, so it's a major thing. That's why you see in the Vedic people specialize. You can't do this just as a hobby on the side. They specialize in this, and you've been learning this from your young. And so then when you get up to where now you could take part, then you could do. So if you've come into the whole acting thing as a kid, then by the time you're, 16, 18, then you know all this, and now you can do this. And then by the time you're a little bit more mature, then you could organize. You could direct or produce or work in these, specialized fields.
And in dancing, first level is that knowing the steps, and then second level is expressing emotions. So then in one of the movies, it's pointed out that in order to learn, if you don't have good expression of emotions, then you do the sign language instead of speaking with people. Because there, then your eyes, and then without speaking a word, then you have to convey something.
Okay.
And then that's how, they specialize in that.
Okay, yeah, so they can do the dance, and then someone else who can express, they'll do that. It's just like, if you're into music, but you can't, your voice is not good, you go for instrumental. I've heard a few, I says, so how did you get into this? They wanted to sing, but they didn't have a good enough voice. So then the teacher said, okay, go into this. And then, they found what instrument they liked, and so then they play. That's why you see some of the like those who play, like the sitar, these things, they play a style called gayaki. Which means they play the instrument like you would sing. While others have a style that it's instrumental, but they do that because they wanted to be singers, or the line was a singer. Because previously veena players sung, and then you played the instrument to back it up. So how you'd sing, you would play the instrument. And so as that goes, and they stop singing because the moguls didn't like the singing. Right? At least the beginning ones were okay with it, but I think once it got down to Aurangzeb, then they didn't like it anymore. So that's why they just went for the num-num stuff. And it mentioned before, that was, you know, the Asuras preferred that position. Like that. And so if you're against the Brahminical culture, then, you know, that'll be more attractive. And so then it developed like that. So even though that previously in their lines they'd sing, now they just play the instrument. So their lines are going to be slightly different than those who are just instrumentalists. All right? Because the singer's singing and they just do backup stuff. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the idea is that, you know, you should know these things well and specialize and all that. That's if you're doing this. I mean, so if devotees are doing something, the main thing we see is it's enthusiasm, it's clear, it's presented very pleasantly, you know, for the audience. And, it's, you know, you focus on trying to bring out the aspects of Krishna, it will be good, you know. So in other words, you get someone who's very enthusiastic to play Nrisimhadev coming out of the pillar. Mm-hmm. Not that really quiet guy in the corner, you know, like that. You know? Yes. You know, or Hanuman, you know. That should be somebody enthusiastic, you know. Mm-hmm. So like that. You just find who's going to, and then it'll work. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't know all this, that's what we're saying. You start from the top, you accomplish that, you have drama. And then to add to that, the more and more you go, the more this is what you do, then all these fine details can come up. But if they know all the detail but don't actually bring it, elevate the consciousness, they miss the whole point. You know, it's not pleasant, it's not clear, it's not that. They can say, oh, but it's, you know, it's artistic and expressive. That expressive of what? You're supposed to elevate human consciousness. Not mimic, you know, something lower. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
I mean, nowadays, you know, drama or movie doesn't have to mean anything. It's just entertainment.
Yes.
It has no message, most of it. I mean, some, but not. It's not necessary to have a good production, in a sense.
Yeah. Yes. What to do? Because it's about making money.
Yeah.
So business people get into it and they do that. Remember, you know, it's always, sometimes you see is that some actor leaves the production, you know, and they always say it's a, what do you call it? Artistic differences, or there's some other term they mean. Mm-hmm. Is that they want to present it in one way and they want it to do it in another way. And they can't reconcile. So either the actor's very proud and he wants to do it in his own way and he doesn't want to blend in with actually what they're trying to present. Or it's the other way. He wants to do what actually would be the natural way of acting that. But no, but this movie, you know, it was big in the box office, so we want you to do this, though it doesn't actually match the thing. And so, you know, it may not work. So that's the thing. While here, it's more about the elevation of consciousness. So these things would be, they have patrons. So it's not about making money. Yes. It's about their actors, they do acting stuff. And there's patrons who take care and support the arts. So that's why you only see during peace and time and prosperity, then the arts come up. And when it goes, then they disappear. So the thing is with the Vedic, you have this science that if it disappears, when it reappears, you follow this. But otherwise, it reappears, God only knows what you get. You know? End up with Punch and Judy or something. No? Punch and Judy. They just harass each other and harass everybody else. And, you know, at everybody else's expense, you make a joke. Rather than saying something that's funny kind of for everyone, you have to denigrate someone else or that and then only, you know, get the audience. And, you know. Yeah, not very classic.
But even today, Maharaj, the classic movies that really well appreciated, they follow those.
Yeah, they'll be closer. You'll see the more classic the movie, the more it follows this. It's just the laws of nature. You can say, you know, what one wants, but that's why we say Veda means knowledge. So when you use the knowledge, it'll always work. And if you don't use the knowledge, it'll never work. You know? So that's the You know, it's just like, let us say you go to, I don't know if the newer ones are like that, but kind of like the older sari shops. You know, they go in there and they're really trying to make you happy. Make you comfortable, nice places to sit.
Used to be, I guess.
You go in and, I mean, you have the ones that are budget, they have a counter there and they just, you know, bring out things, and if you don't like them, that there's a million customers going to walk in, so they don't care. But the ones that are more expensive, then you go in, a place to sit, they might bring you things to drink, like that, and there's a guy there to just show you, yes. You know, there's like 20 guys there, so when you come in, like this. And so it's about, you know, taking care of the customer and that they'll be happy, and then if they're in that, they buy more. Right? So the point is that principle of that you have an item that somebody needs or wants, and you present it to them in a way that's accessible to them and they're happy, then they take, and they'll take more. They went in to buy one sari, they may walk out with three.
Yes.
Like that. You know, we only say three because that's all the money you have. But
Credit cards.
Yeah, which one's not maxed out, right? You know, so then, but then you see is that you take someone like Amazon, you say other things, you've always had that you could get stuff by mail. I mean, Sears catalog, it goes back 100 years. You could buy things online, you know, by mail order and stuff like that. But it wasn't necessarily so much on returning and this and that or what you got, and it didn't come so quickly and that. But here it's like you get something immediately, it comes, you know, and things like that, you don't like it, you can send it back. And, you know, it's just all this, it just make it accessible. You know, because it's like, I don't like it, I'll send it back. And you're thinking, oh, I'm, it's all in my advantage. But the point is because it's like that, you're going to, let's say you order 10 items, but let's say you only keep 6 or 8. But 6 you bought. And so they've worked it out that it's to their that they make profit. Well, if they didn't have this, there'd be nothing. Yes. So unless you could go into Calcutta, you wouldn't buy anything. But now you could sit in your house and some guy will bring it to your door. You know? And so it's the same principle. Like that. I've even seen where places, rich guys' houses, like that, been there for something like that. And he's called up, you know, the place that they always go to. So generally, you know, speaking, the ladies would go down to the sari shop. But there's something coming up, it came up suddenly or that, or they just don't have time, they're making arrangements like, you know, this and that. And they call up the guys and tell them, we're looking for this kind of sari and this kind of budget and, you know, this kind of thing like that. And they show up with this big bundle and right on the floor, right there in the living room, they get out, open the thing, the ladies sit around like that and they just, you know, go through everything there. The shop comes to the house. You know, you could say, oh, yeah, we can come to my place. No, they'll buy so much. Because you do this, then others will be there, because it's not just there, other ladies, and then they'll do it, and then just so much more is sold. So there's a principle that works. And you catch that principle, then, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that the Veda is knowledge. It is knowledge. So any knowledge that there is in the world is Veda. People may know it or not. In the Vedas themselves, it's nicely delineated. And so there you can see it in its natural form. And other knowledge, people go out and pratyaksha and anuman and all that. Anything that actually works and is stable, that's because it's knowledge. By karma, then they came across that. Right? Apples have always been there. Apples have always dropped on people's heads. Why is it now then he goes, oh, gravity. You know, I'm saying, you know, why didn't the Greeks work this out? They probably did, but no one's going to give them the credit. Right? You know? So, you know, so that's the point is that it's already there. So these are then, this is the knowledge of how dramas work. And the closer you come to it, the better it is. So use of weapons. Those who are engaged in fight, angry conflict, or siege in a play are to be given different weapons in a drama. Weapons should be made by experts with proper measurements. I shall now describe these together with rules for their measurement. The bindi should measure 12 talas, The kunta, javelin, 10, and the shatagni, the shula, spike, and the tomar, and shakti, spear, 8. Does it say what a tala is?
Tala is the measure of the palm.
Palm. Oh, okay. Okay, so measure of the palm. Okay, it's about, okay, about the same. So it's a little bit less. So then that means 12. 12 mean 6, 5,
7, 8 feet.
Yeah, 7, 8 feet. Like that, around 2 meters. Okay, the bow should measure 8 talas, and its width should be 2 cubits. Okay, arrows, mace, and vajra should be 4 talas long. The sword should measure 40 angulas. So that's 40, 40, 24 is a hand. So, yeah, it's a little less, a little shorter like that.
3 feet.
Yeah, a little less. And the disc, chakra 12, and prasha, the latter's half. The patisha will measure like the prasha, and the rod, danda, should measure 20 angulas, while the kampana, kanapa, will be of the same measure. The shield, charma, should be 16 angulas in width and 2 cubits in length. And it should have valyas and bells attached to it. Ketaka, a rider's shield, should be 30 angulas in width and 2 cubits in length. The jarjara, the dandakasha, masks, umbrellas, chauris, banner staffs, and water jars, bringara, and every other thing that men made use of are the accessories in the production of a play. The characteristics of these to be considered by those who are in whose sphere they belong. So whatever it is, the weapons, who they are, where it would be, then, you know, in other words, if, you have the guys are, a whole band of dwarfs with their battle axes, they're going to be battle axes that fit their size. You're not going to give them, the battle axe that the orcs would use because, they wouldn't even be able to pick them up. Yeah, so it's going to be, you should consider all that. So this is the standard, but if you find, the people are shorter, then you make them smaller. If they're bigger, you might make them bigger. You know, like we were saying, that king, what is it?
Maharana Pratap.
He was 7 feet tall, so then his sword was huge.
Yes.
But, others, they're shorter, so they're smaller. So, but the standard general they're giving, this is what it should be.
Shivaji was only 5 feet.
Shivaji was only 5 feet. Now, that's why you always see him on the horse. Well, at Pratap Singh, you probably see him standing and stuff like that. Shivaji was only 5 feet. Yeah, Napoleon was also like that.
So. Hitler also.
Hitler also, yeah. Don't mess with short guys.
Exactly.
They get upset, don't mess with them.
I think Lenin was also quite short.
Yeah.
Stalin?
Yeah. Lenin, Stalin, both short guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have special shoes and stuff, but still. Very short.
So you're saying those kind of shoes, I mean, except for the colors and the lights that Yes was using, then they were using before, just that they made them look formal and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alexander also 5 feet 2 inches.
Yeah, also, yeah.
He might always picture hairy.
Yeah. I guess it was the hair, right?
The horse.
The horse, yeah, also on the horse. Use of accessories. And at the production of a play, one should use differently in relation to dramatis personae, many kinds of accessories, upakarama, demanded by the art of theater. Now all the manufactures of crafts that are executed in this world of moving and immovable objects are to be known as accessories in the performance. So that means anything that there would be in the life of that particular, character that they're playing, then those could be included as is useful. Like that. And to obtain them, one is to go to a country which has got it. So you have to bring it from wherever it comes from. So if you want that Louis Vuitton, you go to France, right? For attaining such accessories in a dramatic production, men have no other means. One who produces an object of art prescribes its measurement and description. Right? Who produces it? They say. You know? Does that make sense? Who is it? Gucci, the Birkin bag? They say how big it is.
You know? They are the authority.
Yeah, they're the authority. So you can't say, no, no, we want it to be this big. No, they said it's this big. That's the way it is. Large objects which require much iron to make them are not for our theatrical production. So anything too big, heavy, this and that, that's not for the production. That's not to be used. Why? Because they create fatigue in actors. Imitation of any object which exists in this world of living being with different characteristics may be included in the accessories to be used in the performance of a drama. So anything can be used, but then you have to consider that it's not going to fatigue the actors. But palaces, houses, vehicles, and various weapons cannot be produced for stage realistically. Like, you're not going to get one of those. What did they call those? Oh, I can't even remember. Something with a... It's one kind of catapult. They're monstrous, and they're the ones that use the rope. They put the object underneath, and then it goes and it swings it out rather than just a regular catapult. They're monster things. So you don't bring one of those on stage. You know, no dragons. You know, how you say, Kasyapa's flying palace. You know, all these things. You know. But palaces, houses, and vehicles and various weapons cannot be produced for the stage realistically. Accessories for use on the stage should not be made with stone, nagasara, as well as iron. For these, due to their heaviness, will create fatigue in the actors. Right? Mm-hmm. So you always have to consider. Mm-hmm. Objects which are light in handling should be made with lac, wood, leather, cloth, bunda, and sliced bamboo. Or in present day, styrofoam. Right? For their use as accessories in dramatic production. Skeleton frames of armors, shields, banner staffs, hills, palaces, peaks of mountains, horses, elephants, aerial cars, and houses should first be made with pieces of sliced bamboo, and then these should be given likeness of such objects related to emotional states by covering them with cloths of requisite color. Mm-hmm. Right, so if you want a palace here, that you make it out of that split bamboo. You know, like you see the fences made out of, but the lattice ones. So it's very thin, and you get it to the shape that you want, and then you cover it with the cloth, paint it, give it the colors, and then give it. So it's not, two people can pick it up and move it. Is that? Yeah. So you don't do more. But if it's not found possible to use cloth suitable for this purpose, then palm products and mats, kilinja, may be used instead. Similarly, weapons of palm products, means leaves and this, whatever it is, something light and that you can do, depending on what you have. Similarly, weapons of various forms that are made with grass and pieces of sliced bamboo, and with lac and bunda, like that. So it means that you make it so it looks like it. It's imitation.
Yes.
But you try to make it look as real as possible, but the point is it should be something very light. Like that. And that's why you don't see them actually fight, because if they did, these things would break. And so, yeah. It's just there for, as he said, it's just to create the emotional states. You do it to make it so it brings that out. And if, in other words, don't do something so big or that if you can't bring it to use it for that purpose. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.